Instead of replying, Han turned to Lando, who now had to decide whether to match both raises. If Lando called or re-raised, Han would know he was beat and discard his own chip cards. But if Lando retired from the hand, Han would call Keg's extra 2,000 credits. There was a good chance the kid had his own idiot's array, and Han was beat, of course. But Keg was young and cocky, and that meant he was likely to mistake good hands for great hands, and great hands for unbeatable hands. Considering the size of the pots, well over 100,000 credits, it was worth a couple thousand credits to see what the young asteroid miner was holding. When Lando took too long thinking, Han knew his friend had been bluffing.
"Go ahead, bet everything,"
he said, smiling.
"I might fold."
Lando scowled in disgust and threw his chip cards toward the dealer station.
"How do you do that?"
Han just smiled and glanced at his wrist.
The truth was, his decision had been random chance.
Had the second counter on his chronometer been showing an odd number the first time he looked, he would have folded to Lando's bluff instead of raising it.
"Lucky, I guess."
Han matched Omad's extra 2,000 credits, then turned his four cards face up, revealing the Master of Coins, the Master of Flasks, a Star, and the Commander of Staves.
"That's 23. How about you, Captain Keg?"
Omad's face fell. "You have positive, Sabacc?" He shook his head in disbelief, then tossed his chip cards toward the dealer station and rose. "I'm out."
"Tough break, kid."
Han's sympathy was genuine. It might have been Lando's money that Omad was playing with, but losing big always tore at the guts of a young Sabacc player. It was too easy to keep replaying bad decisions and bad breaks.
"You'll do better next time."
"Until then, I'll take the seat."
The female voice came from the middle of the line, but it was so hard and authoritative that those ahead of her made no objection. Han glanced over to see a pale, compact woman with short brown hair ducking beneath the observation rail. She was dressed simply but formally, with a long black dress that showed flashes of muscular thigh through a high slit and a top that revealed shoulders so strong that Han found himself thinking of one-armed push-ups. Han turned away and collected his winnings, being sure to leave a nice tip for the dealer, then glanced over at the adjacent table, where Luke and Leia sat disguised as high-rolling Deveronian tug captain and his Twi'lek companion. Both seemed completely absorbed by their own game, Luke joking as he splashed betting tokens into a sizable pot, Leia laughing and using the Force to animate the fake headtails hanging down her back. He let his gaze dart toward the approaching woman and saw Leia flutter her eyes in acknowledgement. She was keeping a close eye on Han and Lando and would not hesitate to intervene if something went wrong. As the newcomer took her seat across from him, Han was surprised to realize he recognized her small, oval face.
"Myrta Gev,"
Han said, smiling to hide his surprise. Granddaughter to the infamous bounty hunter Boba Fett, Gev had a complicated history with the Solo family. She had once considered Jaina a friend, but that relationship had gone south after Darth Kydus had tortured her.
"I thought you had better taste."
Gev returned Han's smile with a cold glare.
"You have a problem with halternecks, Solo?"
"The dress is nice," Han said. "It's your bosses I don't like. The Krefs, really?"
Gev shrugged.
"I should care what a Solo thinks."
She took Ahmad's seat next to Lando. She was careful to avoid looking at Dina Yuce, which told Han she knew exactly who Dina was.